Okay, so I'm going to be at Helium Comedy Club in Portland, Oregon, Thursday, July 29th, Friday, July 30th, Saturday, July 31st. More tickets have been added. So it was sold out, but it is no longer sold out. You can head on over to portland.helium.com or the link in my bio on my Twitter or my Instagram at Nicole Byer at both. Okay, bye. Why Won't You Date Me? A podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single. Even though if you wanted to come in a jar, mix it with glue, and hang pictures on the wall, I would say, ooh, that's ingenious and intuitive, even though I think it's really gross. Anyway, my guest today is an actor that you know from shows like Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist and Magicians, recently received a Critics' Choice Award nomination for the role, or his role, what are your pronouns?
He, him.
Okay.
He, him.
You're like, this is the worst intro I've ever gotten. So he recently received a Critics' Choice Award nomination for his role as Guillermo in What We Do in the Shadows, for which he was the first queer Latinx actor to be nominated in that category. It's Harvey Guillen!
Hi!
Harvey, hi, how are you?
I'm gagging over that intro. That was the best intro. I specifically like the at the end. That's
you gotta keep it fun, keep it fresh. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. It's summertime. It's nice and warm, and yeah, I can't complain. How are you?
Listen, I'm doing well. Are you fully vaccinated, or do you not believe in science?
No, absolutely science. No, or global warming. It's just God hugging us closer. I have half a vaccine. I'm in Canada right now, and they're kind of a shortage in vaccines because they don't have big pharma really. So I have this theory that like America and Canada were best friends, and like 11 months ago, Canada was like, so you promise, girl, you're going to give us the vaccine too when you get it? And America was like, of course we will. We're like in this together. Cut to last week and Canada's calling America out the beach. And it's like, hey, hello. It's like, who is this? It's like, it's me. It's Canada. And the U.S. is like, I can't hear you, babe. Can I call you back? And it's like, I want those vaccines. Okay, I got to go, babe. I'll call you back. I love you so much. Hey, Russia, wait up. And
I love it. America is Mariah Carey. Canada is Jennifer Lopez. And guess what? She does not know her.
I don't know her.
Have you seen that video?
Yes, I've seen that video. It's the hair flip, right?
Yes. So I looked into the whole shade thing, but I looked into, so Shears Maida sent me a long video that truly went through all of the things that happened between J-Lo and Mariah Carey. One, J-Lo doesn't sing at all. Like, she puts her voice over sample tracks. And I was like, oh my God, that is why none of her songs sound the same.
Hey, but I still love her.
Same. I love her. I think she's incredible. I think she's so hot. And I think she's like a performer. What I mean? Like, I don't really care that she's not singing.
Right. I mean, who said that? I think it was Cher that said that. She's like, I never said I was a singer. I'm an entertainer,
I fucking love Cher. I saw her in concert. And one of her big things that she did on stage was skip across the stage. And we were all holding our breath. We're like, will she make it across? Because she's 70 fucking years old. She made it across. And we all screamed and lost our minds.
Another
big moment. She sat in a gondola and then just went across the stage. And we were like, yes, queen, sit down.
I thought you were going to say she sat in a gondola and went to the Palacio, just to the casino.
Honestly, that would be iconic.
She has her iconic across the stage and fist pump, right? She goes, doctor, yes. walk, fist, fist, walk, fist, fist. Yeah.
God, I love her.
I love her so much. So yeah, to answer your question, I'm half vaccinated because when I went to the vaccine, they had a, well, first of all, I'm living in Toronto right now. I'm filming a project and I got a notice that the zip code that I live in is at high risk. So they were like, you can go get your vaccine because that's how they're doing it. If you're at high risk, you can actually go get it. And I didn't know that my neighborhood was. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so my neighbor's like, you should go get it. It's at a racetrack. And I was like, what? And so you have to drive 45 minutes to a racetrack and go get your shot like a horse. And I was like, okay. So I drove 45 minutes. I live here, but I don't really have proof of anything, you know, just like my like parking permit for my car or whatever. And I was like, see, this is my whatever. And they gave me the shot. They put it in your register. They don't give you a card here. Like in America, that's an American thing. When you put your card, you're like, I vaccinated. They don't do that here. They put it on the computer. It's in the system. It's in your email. And then, so I got the first one and I took a picture of this, but I looked up and it says, your next vaccination will be in 16 weeks. We'll notify you.
Will you be in Canada still in 16 weeks?
I'll be back. In America. So they were like, that's fine. Just go get your second dose in America. But I was like, that's terrible. I could literally go back to America, get the vaccination and come back. And I would still be on a waiting list to get it here.
Wow.
So, but it was really sad because it was like families who drove 45 minutes and they, I guess it changes some of the zip codes at the last minute. Mm-hmm. And it was like Titanic. They were like crying. They're like, I drove 45 minutes. How come I can't get it? It's like, sorry, sir. You have to. And there was a jazz trio trying to keep the beat up. So they're like, ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba in the parking lot. I was like, what's going on? Like, it was like the Titanic going down. Everyone's trying to get in a lifeboat. It was kind of sad. But I think it's safer just everyone get the vaccine.
Isn't it wild that we have like elected officials? I mean, everywhere. Every place you live has elected officials. And then all of them were like, we don't know what to do. And it's like, what?
That's
we
your
elected
job.
You. You should have some sort of indication of what to do during a pandemic. Come on.
It's your job.
It truly is. Have you dated during the pandemic? Are you dating now? Are you single? Tell me about your relationship status.
I am single and not quite ready to mingle.
I feel you. I saw a family walking yesterday. Mom and dad maskless. They had a dog, obviously maskless. A daughter maskless, and then their son was in a mask. And I was like, I feel you. I get it. You're not ready.
I thought you were going to say the son was a mask. Like they had a mask.
He was a mask with legs. And I was like, yeah, bring your biggest mask outside.
I am not. It's not, I don't know if I'll be ready. And it keeps me, you know, occupied to be at work and stuff. So I'm like, I don't know, you know, I'm sure you can relate, but like working like takes so much time. But then like when you do go on a date, it's kind of weird to meet someone, especially like I went on a date here, I think it was last year before the pandemic, and kind of like dated for a couple of weeks, and it was nice because they don't watch TV, they don't look into entertainment industry. And so for the first time I was talking to someone that didn't really know if I did something in there. You know, in LA, everyone's an actor, you know? So if you date someone, you probably know they're an actor, writer, whatever. And I feel like for the first time, I was like, oh yes, this is good. They don't even know, you know? And I want it that way. And then I was walking down the street with them and this lady pulled up with a car and I was like, she goes, excuse me. Are you Guillermo? And I was like, and I looked at his face and he had this look of like, is your name not Harvey?
That honestly would be so funny if like you were not an actor and you were just stealing someone's identity and someone drives by and they're like, excuse me.
Yeah. And I think that's what he thought because he looked at me like disgusted of like, have you been lying to me? And it's like, no, I wanted to tell you. I am who I am. I say, and it's like, what? What are you saying? And it's like, no. And I feel like it was like, you know, Jasmine and Aladdin. It's like, I am the princess of Agrabah. You know.
So wait, you don't tell people like up top. You're not like, I'm an actor and I'm pretty. I'm pretty successful. Like I pay my bills with it. I don't have a day job.
I don't. And it's like, that's why I probably don't date a lot.
Wait, Harvey. But, okay, so we're on a date right now. What is your type? Tell me.
I have a like variety. Like I've dated like so many like not so many people, but like, it's like, it varies. Like I really kind of like have to meet the person, talk to them. I sometimes fall for people after I've met them through acquaintance, like as a friend. I'm like, I really find this person attractive because something about them. Or sometimes you meet someone like, oh, they're so annoying. And then something about them, you're like, I kind of like that, you know? So it goes both ways.
We're on a date right now. I'm a person that you find kind of annoying, but like also endearing.
Okay.
So, what do you do for a living?
Why is that their voice? Why is
that their voice? I was really trying to go for like kind of annoying, but endearing.
What, are we at a restaurant? Why are you yelling?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. We're outside in a park.
Is it quiet outside? Is there construction happening?
So there's a little bit of construction. It's a little bit loud outside. So what do you do? So what I do for a living is, you hear the construction? I'm a construction worker. So, Harvey, what do you do?
I'm a writer.
Oh, okay. Like poems.
Yeah, poems. Like, you know, I sometimes write scripts, you know, just
scripts.
Yeah.
Scripts?
You okay?
Oh, well, scripts really got me. I got excited about scripts. Hey, so any of them get like produced?
I'm working on one right now that hopefully will get made. So, yeah.
Wow, you are guarded.
Because I'll tell you, it's not a lie. I am a writer, you know, as well. So like, you know, we're multi-talented, you know, you are not just a comedian. You're also everything under the sun, you know, it's like, so it's not a lie. It's like, I do write and I have written stuff. And so I think that avenue is always like a safer one because you'll always like filter out who's like, I know you're an actor, you know, like they'll like pop and say, oh, I also do that. And once I know that, then it's like, well, then that wall is dropped. Like, well, then let's not put on like a, let's get to know each other, you know, from scratch. Like, it's like, we don't know each other at all. It's like, well, we already know, then let's be honest, you know? So that's a good start, I think. But that's why I was so impressed when I was talking to someone and they had no interest in the entertainment industry. They had no interest in that world. They didn't have a TV, really. They were like, I don't watch TV. And it's like, great.
But if they don't have a TV, like, what do they do?
They read books. They listen to records. Oh, okay.
Yes. Books. I forget about books.
And they do go to the movies and stuff, but it's always like a safer bet. They didn't have a television. But eventually, the truth comes out. And eventually, I do like, you know, it's like, oh, I also, you know, act and yada, yada. But that's like date number five.
Fair. I mean, yeah, I guess. I think I used to do that a lot. I used to try to like not let people know what I did at all. But now I just tell them. I'm just like, you know, whatever. I try not to make it like braggy because sometimes I feel like it's braggy.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, very that. And you try hard to be like humble, but also proud of what you do. And that's a very hard thing to like balance.
It's like balancing on like a tightrope, you know, just like I act, and it's like, oh, and like the next question usually like, anything I've seen you in, you know, it's like that was the whenever you talk to like anyone who, you know, I would meet, you know, somebody's parents or something, it's, oh, here, you're an actor, anything I've seen you in, you know, and then you have to go down your resume, which is always weird.
Ooh, see, I don't do that. When people go, oh, anything I've seen you in, I go, oh, if you have to ask, then no. And it is pretty humbling. Thank you so much. God bless.
I'm going to steal that because I feel rude. And I go, and then I start thinking of a demographic that they might have seen. Like, they're not going to see, like, my, you know, Nickelodeon show, you know? It's like, well, you're not the demo for
Nickelodeon. You never know.
You never know.
You never
know. Actually, you're right. You never know. So I try to pick something like, maybe you've seen me in this? And they're like, I don't think so. And it's like, okay, you know what? The game's over. Like, it's like.
That's why I don't do it, because it's like, you say one thing, they go, no. And then you're like, oh, well, what about this? And you're like, no. And then you start to be like, oh, I guess I'm not as successful as I thought I was. Right. I guess I'm not thriving.
Exactly.
And I once did that to somebody. I may have told this story on this podcast. At this point, I don't know what stories I haven't told these people. But I was working at this restaurant called Chat and Chew in New York. I do not think it's there anymore. But he's now a very famous comedian. He was mildly successful. He'd been on like one or two shows, and he came in alone and he was like, table for one. And I was like, oh, okay, right here. What do I know you from? Like, where do we meet? And he was like, I don't think we've ever met before. And I was like, are you sure? And he was like, yes, I'd remember you. And I was like, oh, okay. But like, where do I know you from? And he's like, I'm on television. I was like, that's not it. And then I was just like that annoying person. So I try to be very like cognizant of it and then just like stop it before it happens. I just being like, no, if you have to ask, no.
Can I borrow that? I'm going to do that then.
Yes, please take it. It's for everyone.
Thank you.
You work so much. It's honestly such a treat. Like, congratulations. I love it.
Thank you. I mean, kudos, you know, and ditto to you as well. Like, but also feel like when people see us work, I'm speaking for both of us now, they don't see like the years that like, you know, yeah, like the hard like ship that like people always want to, you know, discover like the new face or like, you know, oh my gosh, they, you know, it's like they don't see like the years of like, you know, waiting tables and like, you know, going to auditions and not getting a call back and, you know, all of that stuff. They see the outcome, which is like, there he is, successful. And it's like, right. But it's on like, you know, years of working at it. And, but yeah, I'm very blessed and fortunate and has been a really good last couple of years. And I'm so grateful to be working, you know, during this pandemic too, because as we know, a lot of our, you know, fellow artists and peers, it's been tough, you know, productions have been down and you can't do live shows and comedy, you know, is stuff that you could do in person that was tangible before is just now slowly. Like, how do you feel about that? Like, it's like the idea that like, we could go and see you do stand-up, which is part of the experience, you know. I know they do like cons, like digital con stuff, and I've done, you know, because we used to do comic cons for our show, and now we do virtual cons, which are not the same, you know, because it's still fun, but it's something about being in front of a person who it means so much to be there to see you perform, to do, you know, your stand-up routine. Like, that's part of the experience, and you can't change the formula that's part of it.
Yeah. I didn't really do very many digital shows this year because I was like, I spent a long time learning how to do live comedy. And I was like, I was like, this is me saying this pandemic will end. If I learn how to do digital shows, that means I'm saying I surrender to this. This is life now. Yeah. By the time this airs, so this will air in July. We're recording this in June. I still haven't done my first weekend of shows yet, but I'm like really excited to like get back on the saddle, get back on the horse. Is that that's a phrase. Yeah. Hop back on the horse or whatever.
Get back on the bicycle.
Yeah. Get back on the bicycle. Get back on the dirt bike, get back on the jet ski. Let's go into the ocean. She's ready. But I'm just nervous about people wanting to do like a meet and greet after. I don't want to be an asshole. I am fully vaccinated. I don't know what other people's stories are. And I kind of like having a bubble. Like, I was walking my dog the other day, and this man, you know how everyone was like performatively going around each other, like walking into the street? Yeah. Yeah, people aren't doing that anymore. And this man like rubbed shoulders with me, and I was like, ah! I was like, I don't want it. Get in the street. So now I've continued it. I'm like, well, I'll go in the street. This is all to say, like, yes, I love people. I just, people close talk, they're spittle. I was like, now that I've lived a year without that, I was like, ooh, wouldn't that be nice to continue that? But like, I don't want people to get mad at me.
I mean, they can't get mad at you. I think the people will be so happy to be in within 6 feet of what this performance is, as opposed to through a screen. You know what I mean? And through something that's not tangible, even though they shouldn't touch you. It feels nicer to see, you know, from a, you know, like 3 feet away, 6 feet away on stage. I think it makes a huge difference in theater. Like, I was thinking about theater the other day and like how they were doing like, you know, watch Broadway on, you know, on TV. And it's like, that's a movie.
Yeah.
That's just a movie. The part of theater is the experience of sitting down and the orchestra getting ready and the music starting to play and the curtain, and you're like, shh, everyone's quiet, and the energy, all of that is like that crackle that comes with it, with the live performance. That's the only word I can think of is that crackle. You can't duplicate that crackle through a screen.
I fully agree with you. The only thing I think that has done it well is Hamilton. the Disney Plus production of it. I think they did like 6 performances and cherry picked the best performances from it. And I was like, Lynn managed to capture the magic of the original show because I saw it with the OG cast. Okay.
No, you're absolutely right. I think because that was shot with a great DP, you know, it's like the angles and how she did it. And also the stage for Hamilton is pretty simple visually to watch, but it's so cool, you know, but if you shoot it from different angles, it kind of changes the vibe and the lighting and everything. So it was the perfect formula, I think, for that. But then like you think of stuff like, you know, Little Mermaid or something, and it's like looks weird on screen, but it's like you can see the harness and it's like
in the Little Mermaid, I think in the Broadway production they were on roller skates, and I don't think they were on roller skates when they did the like ABC version of it, and I was like, guys, give me the roller skate.
I want to see that flow.
Yeah, give me them roller skates.
I want to see those Heelys.
I might get Heelys. No, I miss roller skating so much. Well, I dislocated my ankle in November, and you'd think I'd be back to normal activities by now. I've like dipped my toes into pole dancing, but like roller skating kind of terrifies me because it's better to just break your body. Did you know this?
No. What?
Yeah, it's better to break an ankle. It's better to break your arm, break your finger, than sprain it or dislocate it. Because a clean break can just heal. A dislocation is like, wait a minute. So we still kind of half there, but not half there. I don't know what to do, bitch. It's going to take me a minute. And that's what my body's doing. It's saying, bitch, I'm taking a minute.
It's just like that shelf that you started to build and you just leave it there and you keep looking back at it. Is it done? No, I still need some
Yes, my ankle right now is a half-done Billy bookshelf from IKEA, okay? Like, she is rickety and she is not finished. Real quick, we have to take a break. Okay, so Harvey, are you on the apps at all?
I'm not, I mean, not really. No, I was on, my friends were like, I'm going to recommend you to Raya, which is the... like the artist one, which felt really kind of like, I don't know, it felt weird. And it, clearly I don't really go on it because I think it went like 8 months without me checking. And then one day I was like, oh, that's right. And I checked and it was like message from like, you know, people, but there was like from months ago and it was like, okay, I get, but then they got like angry. Like it was like, okay. They're like, hey, what's up? Oh, okay. I see. And it's just like, what? No, like made up their own assumption of me like just leaving them on read, but I didn't like, it's like, I didn't even open, but I really don't do a lot of the apps. I think, you know, I've actually met an ex through Instagram, which is an app. And so, yeah, I know.
People meet people through Instagram. And listen, I don't fucking did you slide into the DMs? Did they slide into the, wait, what, how did this happen?
They slide into my DMs because we had a mutual friend and they're like, okay, oh my gosh, I love XO, you know? And I was like, oh my God, me too. I'm sorry. Have we, and it's like, no, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, okay. And then take it from there. And then, but then it's kind of like, it's always weird when you get like a DM, you know, because then it's like, what are you trying to, but I guess that was years ago too. That was like probably like four or five years ago that happened. So it was kind of like, this is new. This is okay. Right. It's kind of like dating. And then also I learned my lesson. Like it was like, that was probably not the best. And then even though we ended up being in a relationship for like 2 years, which was, I know, from it all started with the DM. But then I looked back and I was like, that's probably the best, but also you should just always follow your gut, you know? And if at that moment I felt that it was okay and I was like, oh, and then continue the conversation and grew into something, then that's fine. But then there's been times where I follow my gut. I'm like, yeah, I think this stops here, you know, which is why you have a gut for a reason.
Yesterday I went to dinner with like a couple girlfriends. And they were talking about like following your gut and like doing what you think you should do to be in a relationship. And like all of them were in relationships. And I was the only single woman. And I was like, oh, great. This is going to be the rest of my life. How delightful and beautiful and refreshing. I love this. Where everyone's like, oh, yeah, I left him at home. And I was like, I left nobody at home. And my dog is at home. Truly a treat to hear over and over again. But my one friend was like, you kind of have to just like follow your gut and then like kind of give up and like maybe like just like give up. And when you're like least expecting it, you'll find somebody. And it wasn't like pointed at me. It was just like a universal theme that everyone was like, yeah, yeah.
But they all have like partners in the table.
Yes. Yes. And when I heard that, I was like, what? I can't give up on it because that feels like I'm giving up on me. And I don't like that's not I don't do that.
I don't think you should like, do
I don't
that.
Give up on shit.
No, you got to keep at it. And also we it's life. So, right. It's like learning experiences. So like everything's a stepping stone. Even if something doesn't work out, you go on a date and it was like we're never seeing each other again. That was a stepping stone. You know, it's like I got out there. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm dating and now I know what I don't want. Like this thing I do. But I did like this, you know, part of that person like this and that like. It's a learning experience. And I don't know. It's just weird to like, I also find that this quarantine, people were like, oh God, it's gonna be so tough because of course being single during quarantine and mental health and all that. But I really found myself that like, I kind of thrive being alone. Like I kind of like, I want to be in a relationship, but I don't want to be in a relationship. And I also like being in a relationship and I also need my space. So when I am in a relationship, I find myself needing space. Like there's like days mm-hmm. where I come home from work and I'm just like, ugh, you know, and it's just like starting a conversation right away from coming home from work. And it's just like, I need like 2 minutes. You know what I mean? Like I just need mm-hmm. to like go to my room and decompress and just be like, whoo, whatever, you know? And then, but because I like being on my own, but I also, we're human. So you want that like tangible, you know, a connection mm-hmm. and affection with a human being. But then there's times where I'm like, if I got married, I think I would need like several rooms. Like it'd be like, there's the office, there's our like bedroom together. There's also my room. It's mm-hmm. all mine. And you cannot come into my room, you know? I think I would need that. I just feel that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want.
Right? Right?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it and I was like, yeah, like I have my room, you have your room. We pick whichever room we sleep in for the night. If I mm-hmm. have to work super early, I'll sleep in my room. If you mm-hmm. have to work super early or do something where I'm like, please do not disturb, you sleep mm-hmm. over there mm-hmm. and like we're fine with that.
I like that. See, this is my like theory and people think it's weird when I say it out loud. Like, it's like, why is this weird?
Yeah. Like, I don't understand a couple that can live in like a studio apartment.
Nope.
Or, and like, no shade if you can't afford anything more, totally. Like, especially like in New York or LA or something. But I'm like, I would try to figure out a way.
Yeah.
To not, I'd be like, we live together, but like you also have your own apartment.
Right. Right. Like we need separate space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I also think that it adds something. People are like, well, that really tests you and see if you're meant to be together. I don't think that you should be forcing yourself to be tested when already a relationship is something that you're building and it's so fragile. Why would you throw a screwdriver in the middle of building something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you start building and be like, okay, for funsies, we're going to be living in a studio apartment with no hot water for the first week. Here's some funsies.
Tee-hee-hee, won't that be a dream?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if I was like with somebody and they were like, that's not okay with me, I'd be like, oh, okay. Then like, this isn't okay. Like, then we don't mesh.
Then already you're like, this isn't going to work out, period. That's another reason why when that conversation comes up, when I do date someone, that's always like, oh, and it's just like, is that, you know, and then that's one of the first steps of like, is that okay? You know, and it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I see where you're coming from. That does make sense. Okay, next step, you know, one more towards mm-hmm. the right direction and see if it works out. But I never understood where, and then also makes you codependent on someone. And I don't want to mm-hmm. be codependent on anyone. I don't like the idea that, you know, no shade to anyone, obviously, who's like, you know, can't do anything without their partner. Like everything they do is with their partner. Like if they go somewhere, you invite them somewhere, their partner is automatically. But you know what I mean? It's
we
like,
can throw shade at them. That's okay. Insane.
Okay. It's kind of
full
a little insane.
Full fucking shade.
Yeah. And it's like,
you got to bring that person every fucking where.
Yeah.
I've had conversations with friends where I'm like, this is just us. Like, yeah. You can't keep bringing this person.
Yeah. And it's like, you talk to them, they talk together. And it's like, you can't even pull them aside to be like, can I talk to you really quick? He's kind of, okay. Well, I guess we're going to do it together. You know what I mean? It's like a pair that moves together, which is kind of like, fine if it works for you. It just doesn't work for me. And it always makes me feel like an outsider when other couples are like, oh God, don't you want someone to do this with? And it's like, no, I don't want someone to do that. I don't want someone to do that with because I want someone to do different things that I find makes us into a couple. Or, you know what I mean? I don't have to be attached at the hip. And that always blows my mind. And so I'm really glad that you said that because you're probably one of, I can count them in one hand that I've met in my life.
I think an ideal relationship for me is at home. We like watch TV, we cuddle, we have a nice time, we tee hee hee. And then during the day, we have our own separate lives. Like, yeah. I'll go to work or I hang out with friends. Or like at night, sometimes I go hang out with friends and he's fine doing, or they're fine doing whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
But like, it's not like, oh, you've been out every night this week and I'm mad. And it's like, well, friend, you got to get out too.
Yeah. Or the idea that you have to ask permission, be like, can I have a boys' night? Again, that's twice this year, you know? And it's Jesus.
That's twice this year. Yeah. Please, for the love of God, go have a boys' night.
Yeah.
Go do whatever you want. Yeah. I think so my old roommate, he has since moved out and I now live alone for the first time ever in my whole life because I lived with my family when I was a youth. And then when I went to college, I had roommates. And then when I lived in New York, I had roommates. Moved to LA, I had roommates. And I just never thought I'd live by myself. I was like, I love having an audience. But he moved out with his boyfriend. And I was like, oh, maybe I wasn't like fully seriously ready to like let someone into my heart because I already had that male presence that I needed. Where it was like, I have a man at home. Sure, he don't fuck me at all. It's okay. I just have that male presence. So like now I'm like, oh my God, she lives alone. Her heart is open. Love, come to me. I have like that candle that I burn, this love come to me candle. I now have tarot cards. I have a shaman. I'm like so fucking hippy dippy right now. And I'm like, she's ready.
I love that song.
She's already. She's already. But I was like going through Tinder last night. And my God, some of these people are truly
I've never done Tinder. Should I do Tinder?
No. I mean, okay. Sure. If you wanted to, he have a nice little chuckle. Honestly, it's a real treat. So this man, Paul, said, I'm a successful businessman, hotel airline owner, not looking for one night stands, lives in London and Italy, looking for a fun loving lady to travel with, dance, tango, have fun, see where the journey takes us. And I was like, this is insane.
That sounds like a breakdown for a character for a villain.
It truly does. I was like, businessman. Okay. You own hotels and airplane? What airplane do you... Do you own Delta? Like, sir, what do you mean? And then this man... Okay, this is Gary. Gary says, I have a high IQ, a big dick, and a big heart. I like to spend too much money on sushi, taking the bus, gritty urban hikes, bike rides... Bike rides and rush hour traffic and Victorian literature. I happily have no social media. If you catch a vibe, then swipe and let me take you out.
That sounds like a serial killer.
He did sound like a serial killer. And I was like, is Gary doing a bit? Like, Victorian literature, riding a bike in bus hour traffic, spending money on sushi, taking the bus. Like, I was like, this is like kind of funny.
I think it's circular. He doesn't leave a trace behind. He doesn't have social media, so you can't look up at him. He takes public transportation, so he doesn't have to register his car. He spends too much on sushi, but he rides bicycles in like rush hour traffic. He's trying to get away from something. So all these are just hints of serial killer on the loose in the big city. Victorian literature, he like reads like, you know, like old killers from old England. Like, what's his name?
Taking the bus so he doesn't have to register a car is truly like your wheels were fucking turning.
See?
That is wild. Okay, I have a couple more.
He's Jack the Ripper.
Okay, this man said, this is George. George says, or George? It's spelled slightly wrong?
Jorge. Is it Jorge?
Oh, maybe Jorge?
Jorge?
I don't know. But he's respectful, educated, looking for a friend, have a huge oral giving fetish, like to spoil, feeling more generous this holiday weekend. That was on Memorial Day that I found him. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh. And these are messages that are sent to you, or you're just reading their profile?
No. This is just their profiles that I've been enjoying.
Gosh.
This is Amir. Very, very handsome.
Very handsome.
Sitting with his shirt like off. He's near a lake. And then all his profile says is, I bake a great pie.
Oh, you start dating him right now. You hear me? You start dating him.
I mean, maybe. Right. Shirt off, making pies. I'm here for that.
But if that's all he has on his profile, he knows that he's like, I know what I have to offer. And here's an extra thing. I can make pie. Like, it sounds like he's the package, and he just added the cherry on top. He just said, I can make pie. And by the way, here's a picture. Make your own assessment.
Yeah, I guess so. Here's the last one. This is Patrick. Patrick's, the only thing his profile says is, I only type in lowercase letters because fuck capitalism. And then he's got a ninja emoji. And I'm truly, I was like, what does this mean?
Oh,
what on earth could this possibly mean?
He fights for what's right. He fights capitalism. He's a crusader for the underdog. I don't know.
You're like the dating profile whisperer. I'm like, and this doesn't make sense. And you're like, actually, he left us all the clues. It does make a lot of sense.
If I had to pick from any of those for you to maybe potentially go on a date, it would be Pie Boy.
Okay.
Not serial killer. He sounds like Jack the Ripper. He's not leaving a paper trail, and definitely not the guy who owns several airlines and hotels and led with a big dick.
I've been on Hinge a bunch, and I have.
See, I'm not on that either.
You're not on Hinge?
What is Hinge?
Hinge is nice. Hinge, I believe, used to be like friends of friends through Facebook. I believe that's how it started.
Okay.
But now it's just like a normal dating app that I think is owned by Tinder. I think Tinder owns a ton of dating apps. I know Bumble was started by a woman who worked at Tinder and then created Bumble.
I was on Bumble for a second. I did do Bumble for like a hot second. And then I think I forgot about it.
I just love, like, it doesn't seem like dating is a priority for you.
It does. It really doesn't. It actually, no, I guess it doesn't. And again, it's just like keeping busy is keep my mind of like away from that. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's always fun to like, you know, meet someone, which we can't right now because of COVID, and like have a fling for a couple of weeks or whatnot. But not
you
really.
Can, you're half vaccinated. If you get someone who's fully vaccinated, the face you're making is so funny. You're like, absolutely not. This is blasphemy. You're talking nonsense. I can't handle this. You must shut up.
No, I just, the idea, I think I'm just still in like, I'm in Canada right now. And again, it's like America's all vaccinated and we're not. So, but I'm still in like the mindset of last March where it's still kind of like, I'm terrified. Uh-huh. And the idea, and also because you know, when you work on set, especially during this pandemic, they test you every day. Like every day I'm reminded of like the seriousness of this, you know, scenario. And so every day I get a swab up my brain and lobotomy to, you know, to get tested. And it's just a reminder every day. And so it's like that reminder doesn't go away. And then after you're done, you know, filming, the reminder's still there for some, because it's like traumatic. Mm-hmm. It's like, I wonder how much, like, if anyone's gonna have, like, you know, post-traumatic, like, COVID filming stress of, like, the trauma.
I mean,
you know?
Yeah. My therapist said that we're gonna feel effects from this for, like, a very long time. And I was talking to my friend Maureen, and she was like, yeah, conversations are weird. I have to, like, tell my brain to finish a sentence and not just walk away from people. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess like the first dinner I went to after, everyone was kind of like staring at each other being like, do we take out our phones now? No, we keep talking. What do we talk about? We talked about it. We caught up for 10 minutes. Nothing has happened this year. What are we all doing?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's going to take people like a little bit to get back into the groove of things. Some people, they're already there. But, you know, those are the people who are just, like, living their lives through this pandemic.
They were in Puerto Vallarta last April, you know? They were, like...
I mean, a lot of funny shit happened. A lot of terrible shit happened. Like, I'm not gonna, you know, minimize what happened this last year. Like, a lot of people died. But did you follow that Instagram account that was, like... Fuck, it was like gays for COVID or whatever.
COVID, yeah. Yes.
I was like, this is so funny. This means people who follow people are submitting their friends to this Instagram to be like, shame them, shame them.
Right.
It was truly so nuts.
It was crazy, especially the ones that were part, you could sense they were part of that community because they got an email saying like, and please don't share this on social media, we'll be partying in Puerto Vallarta, and they screenshot it, and it's like, that was only submitted because you were part of that group. Somebody ratted their own like secret society out.
It's so wild. Yeah, I guess by like mid-June last year they were like, you could do things outside. I was like, okay, I'm cool staying at home and like roller skating outside or like whatever. All the people, like, I have a friend who lives in Florida who was like, I will keep living normally. And I was like, well, you're in the perfect state to do that. And he's fine. So, you know.
Yeah. That's what's upsetting is that you see people who are doing their best to like stay healthy. And then unfortunately they somehow, you know, catch this because they have to go to work. They're a first line, you know, responder or whatnot. And it's unfortunate. And then you see someone who's just not following the rules. It's like that kid who didn't do the assignment, you know, as a group activity. Mm. And at the last day, he puts his name on it. And it's like, yeah, we did it. And it's like, you didn't do it. You didn't do shit. You didn't do it. Like, why is he getting a good grade? And it's like, we did it. Let's go party. And it's like, you didn't do shit. You did everything wrong. It's just frustrating.
Honestly, that truly was me in school. People, like, my sister used to get so mad at me. She was like, I don't understand how you graduated high school. You didn't go to enough school. I never showed up. I was like, what's the fucking point? This is the first time in my life where I was like, I'll follow some of these rules. But it was because I didn't want to cost anybody money. And I was like, I don't want to die. I haven't seen a fat person get it and then be like, I'm thriving. Although somebody did get in my DMs. I may have told this story before, but I got several DMs from a person who didn't have a picture in their profile on Instagram. They're like, I'm fat. I got it. I'm fine. And my girlfriend, she's fat. She got it. She's fine. And I was like, this is literally COVID. Like DMing me, being like, go outside without a mask. And I was like, I won't do it.
The devil. No, it's true.
Okay. Real quick, Harvey, we have to take another break. Can you even? And we're back. So do you think that you are not interested in a relationship because you work a lot and you're worried that a relationship will distract you from work?
No, not necessarily. I do know, you know, people have joked like, well, I guess you don't need a relationship because you're married to your career, you know, which is... not true. I mean, like at the end of the day, it's like a relationship is great, but no one's been by your side except for you since the beginning. And so you got to love you, you know, and when you love you and everything falls into place, then you'll be able to share that love with someone and they can be in a relationship with you because you love them and they love you and you understand each other. But yeah, this business is tough. Like I was in a relationship couple years ago and it was tough to like be on a different coast, you know, like I was working on the East Coast and we call the West Coast home. But really in the last 2 years, I've only been in LA like 2 months. And like, that's because all my work takes me out of the country. And that's not fair to the other person if that's not okay with them. Like, you know, first you meet someone, they're like, no, I'm totally cool. I can do like long distance. Like, are you sure? And it's like, no, okay, okay. And then it starts to wear down. And it's like, okay, it's like, you didn't call me last night. I was like, I got home at 4 a.m. And it's like, but it's only 1 in LA. And it's like, I know, but it's 4 here. And I was working 16 hours. So I was kind of tired. And it's like, wow, okay. I don't want to fight about, you know, my boyfriend doesn't want to just call. And it's like, okay, this isn't good. This isn't good for you because you deserve someone who's right in front of you, tangible, and you have that love to give. And I deserve someone who knows that if I work 16-hour days, I'm going to be a little tired and might not be able to call at 4 or 5 in the morning to say goodnight. You know what I mean? And that's the difference. And the difference is you have to find someone who's compatible. Even though some people say, I am compatible, it really does test you, you know, as you like grow together and things happen, because we also change. So what I wanted 2 years ago might not be what I want today, and definitely not going to be what I want tomorrow, you know? And so you have to really kind of be selective and see who's growing with you, or eventually are you growing apart?
Yeah, I also think people have the notion, or like even I had this notion until very recently, that it was like, when you're in a relationship, it's forever. And truly up until like a couple months ago, I was like, oh, I guess it's not for forever. It's for however long it lasts. And when it's not good, you got to get out.
But that's okay, though. That's fine. That's perfectly fine, because I think we were, you know, taught traditionally that, you know, you get married, you marry your high school sweetheart, and that's it. And you have a life with them. But also, this was like years when like people weren't expected to live past the age of 45, you know, it's just like an olden days. So now it's like people are finding themselves that they're growing as they get older. People are like finding who they are at 50. People are coming out, you know, out of the closet at like after having a full life with a wife and four kids. And they're like, you know what? Like, I never really asked myself this question, but yeah, I love my family. You know, like, and they've completely started a new life, and that's perfectly normal. And we should normalize that. It's not, it shouldn't be like, how dare. And it's like, no, it's like, why is it that in our minds we're supposed to be with the one person for the whole, you know, I mean, look at J-Lo.
Yeah. J-Lo has broken up with A-Rod and is now back with Ben Affleck. My God, what a treat. What a beautiful circle to come right back home to.
I love it.
Honestly, Ben Affleck, I've loved him through the pandemic, because I was like, I again may have said this on the podcast, I don't know, but I'm like, does he have a deal with Dunkin' Donuts?
Yes.
How is he always getting photographed with Dunkin' Donuts? How do they always know he's been to Dunkin' Donuts to take a picture in front of his house? I was like, is he getting paid?
I think he just likes to, he's from Boston, right? He's an East Coast boy. So
yeah, he's from Boston, but like every single day you're photographed picking up packages in front of your house with Dunkin' Donuts.
That's true.
I think Dunkin' Donuts is, this is, it would be beautiful marketing.
It would.
You know?
Is there a Dunkin' Donuts? Does he live in LA? I don't even know if I've seen a Dunkin' Donuts in LA.
There is a Dunkin' Donuts in LA. There is one in Glendale.
Okay. Now we're just giving free commercial to Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, there's also one in Hollywood. I believe it's like Hollywood and Vine. Right by that Shake Shack. Yes, there's Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
They have arguably better coffee than Starbucks, but like, I just don't like the font. I think it's goofy.
It's bubbly, right? It's like,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
And it's like pink and orange. It's too much. It's too dang fucking much.
I'm going to check it out when I'm back in LA, because I hadn't seen one in LA. What do I know? I don't fucking live in LA anymore.
They have in Canada, they have a, what is it, like Tom's?
Tim Hortons. Timmy's, they call it.
Yes.
They call it Tim. They do have a good ice cap at Timmy's, I have to say. When we do like a late night, when you have to be like up all night, if you just have one small like Timmy's, because it's all sugar. It's just sugar with ice. Mm-hmm. You just have that. You're like clang, clang, clang with the trolley, you know, and just go on like until 6 a.m. Literally, you don't need a Red Bull. You just need one small Timmy's and you're good to go.
I love split days. Like, I love rolling to work at noon and not leaving till 4 a.m. And I'm the only person in America who loves them.
I like that too.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like everybody I talk to is like, no, I need to see my family and I need a life. And I'm like, no. I don't have a fucking family. And for right now, this is my life.
I want to wake up late and then I want to wake up rested and be like, 11 a.m. Just feel ready, be on set by 12, go until 4 a.m., sleep again, you know, and have, and hopefully have the next day like a later call. So the next day you're called at 2 in the afternoon.
And then I love that push. You better give me my 12-hour turnaround.
Turn around.
You better give it all to me. Oh boy, I haven't had a job in a minute. I've only had like days, but I'm like, I miss being on a production.
Are you guys not shooting, what is it, Nailed It?
Nailed It is only like 2 weeks. It's
That's it?
Yeah, people are like, when do you sleep? And I'm like, all the time.
You have the perfect schedule. You have the most amazing schedule.
Yeah, it's only because we shoot an episode a day, and then each season's only six episodes, so it's
Are you guys done for the season, or have you started for during the pandemic? Did you shoot?
Yeah, the last season, Double Trouble, came out, and we shot that last year. So then I don't know if we're coming back for another season. Hopefully we will. I enjoy my job. And then Wipeout comes back. I think that was announced. I'm pretty sure that was announced. Mars, I'm going to have to double check that. Or you can Google it now, but I think it was announced. So I'll go back to that, I think, in the fall. But yeah, right now I'm just like, okay, I have stand-up dates. So I think it's like the summer's about Nicole getting her groove back on stage. I went to New York to do a show. And
you did recently?
Yeah. This was like last month. And I was going to do 40 minutes, but then I was like, oh boy, I'm exhausted. I think I did my 40. I've been to Nicole Byer. Have a good night. And I looked down. I was like, I did 28 minutes and I'm tired. Oh my God. I was like, how did I do an hour plus? Sometimes if the crowd liked me, I'd do like an hour 15. And I was like, I don't know how that's going to happen.
It's like swimming laps. Like you stop swimming for a while. You can't like, you know, swim the English Channel. Like you're like, okay, we're gonna start off really slow with some laps.
Yeah, or like pole dancing. I could climb pretty like with like ease, if you will, before she fell down the stairs that fateful afternoon. And now I'm like getting it back and I'm like, my God, this is hard.
Do you take classes for pole dancing?
I've been doing private sessions because
private dancing.
My studio does do dancing for money. When I was little, I used to love that song. I would sing it with my little karaoke machine, and I thought it just meant like inviting your friends into a room and dancing for them. I had no idea it was like stripping. And my mother just let me sing it. Like, my mom was super chill. She was just like, whatever, who fucking cares? Tina Turner's iconic. Like, she's just gonna find it anyway. But yeah, I do private classes. And my studio is called Luscious Maven. It's in North Hollywood. They do Zoom classes. I like talking about them so much because it's like a female-owned business. They're a small business. They're independent. They're so good. They treat you nicely. I love them. They never once like blinked an eye at me being like, you're too big to be on a pole. Like, I just like, I love that place. So they do Zoom classes. So truly anywhere you are in the world, you could do it. Okay. If you were interested in learning how to do a split, they have flexibility classes that you could do if you wanted to. Cause everyone can basically do a split.
I'll start a Zoom class and maybe one day I'll join you in a real life pole class in North Hollywood.
Yes, please come. I'm trying. I don't know how to explain it to people, but I'm like, you feel powerful after you like get a spin, and it's something like tangible that you're like, oh my God, I am strong.
And you're in control.
I'm hot. Yes, you are in control. Oh, it's delightful. I fucking love it. Harvey, since you've been in a relationship and I'm just trying to get my pussy eaten, I have no standards this summer. I went on Seth Meyers and I said, I want every hole filled. And during my pre-interview, he was like, are you going to say that? And I was like, can I? And he's like, I mean, sure. So I said it. Maybe I won't get invited back. Who knows? But do you have any advice on just like dating or like trying to get back into it?
I mean, I think a little bit of what I said earlier was like the default part of it is following your gut, but also knowing what you're looking for and knowing what you're interested in, you know? So the idea that, you know, I think you know that like, you know, going on dates and meeting someone that you're like, or red flag or, you know, but I don't think there's like there's no like book to like follow. Cause obviously I'm different. You're different. Everyone's different. And what works for me is just, for me, it's not the traditional, you know, dating avenue. And it's really kind of just connecting with someone. And if they're cool, we start the journey together, and either you go along and you grow together, or you're going to grow apart, and that's okay. And being okay with that. So my advice would be take a chance on someone, and see where it goes. You'll be pleasantly surprised.
Okay. What song is that? Take a chance. Oh, it's Breakaway. And that's not the word. And break away. I'll spread my wings and I'll learn how to fly until I play Dutch and I reach to the sky.
I'll spread my wings and that one?
Yeah.
That's the one. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But is, take a chance, make a wish, make a change, and break. There we go. She got there.
Something here. Take a chance.
Mm-hmm. Make a change. And break away. Boy, I love Kelly Clarkson. And honestly, she's my only American Idol. I don't know why they continued the show after she won.
There was no point.
She's perfect. I love her.
And we always live for a moment like this.
A moment like this. Some people wait a lifetime for a moment.
We should go on a double date.
Let's go on a double date. I'd love to go on a double date. I would love to just go on a date. Like, I just want to be wined and dined and then deep dick all night long. Like, that's what I am looking for right now. And I hope that, like, I feel like people are, like, back out with fervor. Like, as soon as LA was like, everyone can get vaccinated, like, April 15th or whatever, I feel like the dating apps were like, blah, 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 blah. People were like, hello, 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 hello. And I was like, oh, my God, this is a little overwhelming. But, like, I just want people to truly not forget about being, like, a good person or, like, a gentleman or, you know, like, somebody with fucking manners, do you know? Like, I don't want people just being like, yeah, let's finish up dinner. We gotta go fuck. And it's like, wait, what?
I only pay for an hour parking and I gotta get it in.
It's like, well, yeah, I'm trying to get into it too, but like, can we chill out for a second? And then I didn't discover, someone told me about this restaurant. So there's this restaurant named Cara that's on like Western by the Ralphs. And it's like super, super cute. It used to be this like shitty hotel, but now it's like a cute hotel and a restaurant. And I was like, oh my God, do I start taking people to this restaurant and then being like, we could just get a room? Is that insane?
I mean, that's the game plan. You have a plan. You're a woman with a plan. So I approve this message.
Okay. All right. I always have a plan. My plan is always to get it in. This last year, I've like, am I the horniest woman in America? And honestly, maybe.
And that's something you can wear with honor. That's wear a badge. That's absolutely fine. Yes. And I'm going to start looking into those other apps. You kind of shifted my thinking a little bit. Thank you. Thank you, Nicole.
Well, I don't want you to like feel like you have to.
No, it's not that I have to. It's that you put things in front of me that I never saw before. And I said, you know, that does make sense. And I don't think I've been giving it the full opportunity to utilize those apps. So thank you. Today is a turning point for me.
Oh, I love this. I love to hear that. a little revelation. I just liked hearing you say that you were like, oh, I want to be in a relationship where like we have our own spaces. Like, I love that. Like, I love being validated.
Yeah.
You know, I love being like, oh, those are my thoughts too.
Which was really surprising because that's usually not how that goes. And I usually don't tell people that because automatically I could already assume the reaction they're going to have. So it was very delightful to not get that reaction from you and to find someone who's very similar to me in the way that we think.
Yes, I love it. Okay, Harvey, so we've come to the end and I normally ask all of my guests this. I've only missed it a couple of times, but okay, here it goes. Would you date me?
I would.
Oh, thank you.
Because we have similar interests. We have so many things that are actually on like point that we're both like eye to eye on. So actually, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. I love that. Sometimes people say no and I'm like, okay. The one that haunts me the most is Nori Davis came on the podcast. Very funny stand-up. I love him. He's like, I wouldn't date you because I can't date a fat girl. And I was like, oh boy. And like, God. In my brain, I was like, I can't. I don't have time to therapize this person. Right. Is that a word? Therapize? I was like, it's a comedy podcast. I don't have time to get into this. This is a you problem. It's not a me problem.
You're not dragging me with you.
Yeah. No, thank you. But oh boy, oh boy. He said, and the people, they keep telling me that they don't like it. And I'm like, I'm the wrong one. I didn't say it.
Well, so go talk to them. Like, go talk to them. Yeah,
go harass Nori.
go give him an earful over there. Go talk to him.
Yeah, go get him. He's the one you have a problem with, not me.
Keep my name off your lips.
Well, if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, rate it, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If you write me a review, I mean, also if you send me a DM, I like scan my DMs to look for these nasty messages. But if you send me a nasty message in any medium, I will find them. I will read them. This person said, I want to put you on a roasting spit, stick an apple in your mouth, and fill your pussy with stuffing. Then every 15 minutes, I'll fuck you. That's too much. And baste you with cum. And when you're done, just spit the apple out and yell, bon appetit. And I'll eat all the stuffing from your pussy. Harvey, I'll tell you this. People really love to write me stuff where they're stuffing food in me. And I'm like, do you all want me to have like a yeastie? Like, you can't just be putting stuffing in a woman.
I thought you were reading one of the reviews for the cruise ships in Puerto Vallarta.
I love it. Harvey, thank you so much for doing this. Is there anything that you want to plug?
What We Do in the Shadows is back September 2nd this fall. So make sure to check that out. And yeah, it's a fun show.
I have to catch up on it. I watched season one and it's so funny. Like, what a treat. Like, wait, and then I think half of season two.
Yeah, catch up. Oh, it gets good. End of season two is a little surprise for you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to dive back in. Maybe I'll stop rewatching RuPaul's Drag Race.
Let's not get crazy.
I mean, I just rewatched the Snatch Game from season 7. And if you're a fan, it is the best Snatch Game of, I think, the whole series.
Which one was that
and
one?
And people could fucking fight me on this.
Which one was that one?
This is Kennedy Davenport, one of the most underrated queens out there. She is a full-blown comedy queen. She is so fucking funny. She plays Little Richard and she's like, "Whoo, oh, shut up." And then you have Ginger Minj's Adele, where she's like, where do I live in London? My home. And then you have Pearl Liaison, who should have been like it should have been a three-way win. She was Big Ange, where she's like, I don't know, I had a rough childhood. And it's so fucking funny. It's so good. And then Violet Chachki plays Alyssa Edwards, and she's really funny. Not as funny as those three, but like pretty funny. And then Katya was Susie Orman, and she was really funny. It was just like, it was a solid fucking Snatch Game, and people shit on season 7. And I'm like, guys, it is high art. Every episode is an acting challenge, and these girls are not actors. Well, I'm done venting about how I think season 7 is the best season. That's it for this episode of Why Won't You Date Me? Okay, bye-bye. Beep, 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 boo, bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me? With me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me? Is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.